This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Premier League fan show, or should we say the Unai Emery special. He has gone. He's not so special anymore, and I don't think he will be saying good evening much more. So Unai Emery has gone, sacked by Arsenal at about 10 o'clock this morning, and now the attention turns to who will replace him. Will it be Massimiliano Allegri? Will it be Nuno Espirito Santo, or could it even be Mauricio Pochettino? So we'll be dedicated over the next couple of hours and throughout the afternoon as we react to the second sacking in North London in the space of just a week and a half. Remember, if you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Premier League fan show here on Love Sport. So only one place to start this afternoon, and yes, it's the news that Dean Smith has signed a new... No, I'm joking. We're not talking about Dean Smith. He has signed a new contract at Aston Villa, but I don't think that's the main headline. Aston Villa fans will be delighted with that news, but one man that won't be delighted with the news that came this morning was Unai Emery. He is now no longer the Arsenal manager after just under 18 months in charge. He is gone. As I mentioned, the attention now turns to who will replace him. Obviously, we've had a whole host of guests so far, and we've got another former Arsenal player on our hands. I'm delighted to say we're joined by Lee Harper, the former Arsenal goalkeeper. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon, Lee. I mean, whenever these moments happen, there's an element of surprise always actually happened. But with this one, Lee, I'm assuming when that news came at 10 o'clock this morning, it didn't really come as that big a surprise.
Yeah, afternoon, Kieran. No, not really. I think the manner of the performances, I think more than anything else, probably see people lose patience. And the supporters were obviously very disillusioned with the nature of the way the team were playing, some selections that he was making. And it looked like we'd lost our identity, that identity that we'd had as such an offensive side over these past, you know, certainly the Wenger era, disappearing. And you didn't really have an idea of what he was trying to achieve. It was no surprise to me.
One of the things I wanted to get your view on, Lee, was after the game yesterday, and it did feel inevitable that when Arsenal lost 2-1 last night, that this news was probably going to happen. You saw the likes of Granit Xhaka on the field having a laugh at full-time with some of the Frankfurt players. Now, we don't know exactly what was said. It may have been something quite funny, completely unrelated to that. That's why I might have been laughing. But it kind of feels at times, you saw on the weekend when Lacazette didn't celebrate that late equaliser against Southampton. Do you think that the players have massively let down their manager?
I think the buck falls with the manager, but the players do have to have some responsibility in how they go out on the pitch and perform. I think the performances have been lacklustre. There's been no tempo. It looks like there's no desire and no commitment. But I don't really believe, you know, nowadays you really get a lot of that from pros. You expect them to go and perform and give their best. I feel that people... You know, for me, one of the most baffling decisions was the constant pushing Aubameyang out wide left to accommodate other people. And when you've got a proven goal scorer at every single level, these are the type of decisions that he was making. I think the players obviously become disillusioned with him. But as a professional footballer, you've got to go and cross the white line. You've got to go out and give it everything you've got. And I'm not sure, you know, with the Xhaka situation that happened a little while back where... You know, he didn't take too kindly to being booed by the supporters. That some of their attitudes are coming across as being right. You know, because all the supporter wants is to see these players giving 1,000% every week, and then you can accept being beat, and then the manager will forfeit. So I think they have some responsibility, yes, but I think the buck falls with the manager, and I think he's... However, he's gone about his tactics. The team don't appear to be playing with any tempo, any real philosophy going forwards. No one really is sure what he was trying to achieve with the way he was going about it. No one wants to see a manager lose his job, but I think it was inevitable.
Arsenal are currently, Lee, on their longest run without a win since 1992. So obviously the question starts being asked as to where it all went wrong for Unai Emery. Was it a case of constantly changing the formation that you weren't sure what exactly Unai Emery wants to implement on this side? Was it the handling of the captaincy issue that he handed the responsibility over to the players rather than making that decision himself? Was it their awful record against the top six sides, winning only 3 of 17 games? Where did it all go wrong for Unai Emery?
Well, I think you could say all of the above, to be honest. But I think for me, being an Arsenal fan, looking in as well, it's been noted that for a number of years now, yes, we haven't done so well against the other top sort of 5 or 6 teams, but defensively we've got issues. We've had issues for a number of years of not having a leader, a real strong spine of our team, of top class players at the top of their games internationally and domestically, and we haven't really had that. And I feel that what he needed to have, what he should have done, is gone and it ain't easy to do. But you know, when Virgil van Dijk was available and Arsenal had massive centre half problems, you don't ever believe or feel that the powers up above Mr. Emery were going to ever give him $65 million to go and spend on one player. And I think that's the other concern, that whoever gets the job moving forwards is ever going to be given the right amount of finances to put this right. You know, there are some talented coaches out there that may get the talented individuals that we have to play as a team, and his philosophies may well work. But defensively, we should have gone and signed a top centre half in the summer, and maybe, you know, nothing against Pepe because I want to see him do well, not spent £70 odd million and use that money for a top class centre half, or strengthening that spine of our team to add on to maybe an Aubameyang and an Ozil, and then strengthen the centre midfield, the centre halves. But it costs a lot of money, and I hope that whoever gets the job is going to be given the backing.
You mentioned there, Lee, about the lack of really a spine for Arsenal. That's been the case for probably about a decade now. And I look at Arsenal under Unai Emery and think, there is no difference to Arsenal under Unai Emery to the end of Arsene Wenger's reign. You look at the bare statistics of it. Arsenal won as many points in Unai Emery's 51 Premier League games as they did in Wenger's final 51 games in charge. So nothing has really changed. Why are Arsenal still, you mentioned it there about spending £72 million on Nicolas Pepe, who might turn out to be a really good signing in 2 or 3 years' time, but why continuously every summer do they buy players in an attacking sense, where Arsenal have always had good players over the last decade, and they still seem reluctant to spend the big money on top quality defenders?
Well, I mean, I don't know how much longer they can keep doing it. I mean, I would absolutely agree with you 100%. You know, I think that these cracks have been appearing for a long, long time. And, you know, I think the philosophy with Arsenal, and that's the difference, I think the philosophy was that we will go and be much more if you're concentrating everything offensively, then you're trying to make sure that you haven't really got to defend a lot, because you're so concentrated on being such a good team going forwards and maintaining the football in possession that the other team doesn't have the ball as much as you. And, you know, more often than not, if you check the record at the Emirates over Wenger's, even his latter stages, we still didn't lose many games at the Emirates. You could go out, and then it becomes a mentality question when you're going away from home. Sometimes you've got to, you know, you've got to sit in. You can't go to Man United and Man City's and Liverpool's and go and dominate. And you've seen so many schoolboy errors over the years where we've gone gung-ho and going forwards. But you knew the identity. You knew what you was getting. You knew you was getting that exciting going forwards, but you'd always have a schoolboy error at the back, and it's coming to bite us on the backside all the time defensively. And if someone can come in, sort that out, keep the likes of Aubameyang, Lacazette, Ozil, get Pepe working for us, add in a top class centre half, and maybe another top centre midfield player, you know, maybe someone can change it around. But the cracks have been there, like you rightly said, for a while now, but it is is this new manager going to get the backing from the board that he's going to need to put this right? And I'm not sure he's going to get it.
You mentioned there about the certain perhaps jobs that a new manager would need to do. If it were up to you, Lee, what would you be looking for? Who would you be looking for? The names at the moment, it was Nuno Espirito Santo who'd raced in as favourite over the last couple of days. Suddenly today, Massimiliano Allegri is shot up to the favourite. Mauricio Pochettino's name has been banded around as well. Who would be your preferred choice to take over Arsenal? And how long do you think Arsenal will take to make this decision?
Well, I think they've got to think carefully and get the right man in. I mean, I think somebody like Allegri would want to know that he's going to have the backing to get things right. I think, you know, it's going to take a lot to get it right. And I'm not sure that someone of his stature and standing would necessarily come and be willing to not be able to go and purchase the right type of player in his mind that he would feel that would rectify this and get us up challenging the likes of City and Liverpool again. I was very surprised when Pochettino was sacked by Tottenham. I think he's a manager of quality, and you know there probably aren't many Arsenal fans that would want him. I think I would take him, and I'm an Arsenal fan, so I think he would do a good job. Allegri would do a good job. Whoever it is, I just hope they get the backing.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Lee. That was Lee Harper, former Arsenal goalkeeper, giving his views, obviously, on this significant news this morning, but really not a massive surprise that Unai Emery has got the sack. Obviously, they lost in the Europa League last night. They did take the lead early doors just before half-time through Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, but a 2-1 loss at more than a half-empty Emirates. It was probably only about 15,000 to 20,000 there, and the atmosphere was dead, to say the least. And it felt like a case of when Unai Emery was going to get sacked, not a case of if. Just mentioning a few statistics there. Against the top six sides, Unai Emery only won 3 from 17 games across all competitions. Obviously, they're on a 7 winless streak before his sacking. And looking at the errors leading to goals under Unai Emery, 15 of them leading to goals for the opposition, apparently more than any other top-flight club in that time. And another particularly alarming statistic, 19 points dropped from winning positions. So at times Arsenal get themselves into the position to win games and they just throw it away. And I think it goes back to this point about how Arsenal just lack any leadership. They've got no backbone. They are very spineless. And when you don't have any players that are willing to take any responsibility, it's no wonder why you lose so many points from winning positions. What's your view? Did Unai rightly get the sack? And who would be your choice to take over at Arsenal? Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. So make sure you get in touch with us this afternoon. We'll have more on Unai Emery's sacking next.
Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Obviously, the news dominated by the fact that Dean Smith has signed a new contract to Aston Villa. No, I'm just kidding. He has. As has Richarlison. He signed a new contract at Everton. It's as if all these teams have decided, right, Unai's got the sack, so we're going to start announcing all of our new contracts. But no, Unai Emery has been sacked after just under 18 months in charge of Arsenal. Very interesting statistic. 88. Arsenal won as many points in Emery's 51 Premier League games in charge as they did in Wenger's final 51 games in charge, perhaps increasing this belief that nothing really has changed over the last couple of years at Arsenal. I just would like to stay or put up, actually, stand up for Unai Emery, because a lot of people have been taking the mick, and it's not great to hear rumours that within the Arsenal camp there were some players mocking Unai Emery. And I just think you may not like someone, but you're paid money to play for that club and you've got to stay professional, and to take the mick out of your manager, I don't quite understand how that's acceptable. And people criticising him, how he speaks and his English, and laughing at it, and it's all well and good joking about good evening and the players and passions, but he has learnt English in the space of 18 months, and considering how appalling as a nation we are at learning foreign languages, I think it's rather hypocritical of us to be criticising him when he's made such a strong effort to speak as much English as possible. There are plenty of managers that haven't in the past, but he's made a conscious effort to speak as much English as possible. So that shouldn't be the reason why he lost the job. Maybe the communication at times wasn't great, but it's not a great story to hear some of the Arsenal players. I think that sums up the spineless nature of that Arsenal dressing room, that Granit Xhaka's a nutter, really. David Luiz is all over the place. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang wants to leave. All this nonsense. Mesut Ozil doesn't play games outside of London. All these rumours. Unai Emery was trying his best. Ultimately, he wasn't good enough. But to criticise his lack or his lack of quality in his English, I think, is a rather lame excuse. Well, plenty of Arsenal players obviously have been given their views this morning in reaction to the news that Unai Emery has gone. Plenty of them coming through from Sky Sports News. Firstly, talking to Charlie Nicholas, obviously well-known former Arsenal player, and he said Unai Emery had to go because he simply didn't fix the defence.
The defensive record at Arsenal is deplorable, and you must improve that. He said, of course I do. I know that. And here we are 15 months later, and it's worse. And we spend £72 million on Pepe when we don't need him. Lacazette and Aubameyang are stars for us. Ozil's been a star, but not at the top games. And he's just not fixed it. And because he's not fixed it, he had to go. And there's big names out there now that Arsenal can go and be tempted by. But Arsenal's got a lot of rebuilding to do. A lot of rebuilding. It's a whole new defence. And that's going to take money. And Arsenal don't have a lot of money at the moment.
Charlie Nicholas was also giving his views on who he thinks should replace Unai Emery as the next Arsenal boss, and he mentioned a certain manager at Leicester.
But the guy that I said before Unai Emery got it was Brendan Rodgers. He makes players better. He makes average players better technically. He makes them mentally more aware. And not just because you can see that at Leicester currently. Everybody used to say to me, yeah, but he's winning trophies at Celtic and it's easy. Of course it was easy, but he done it with a style. He took a few hammerings in Europe because he has a certain... But can anyone honestly point a finger at Leicester right now and say he's not improved most, just about every player there? It's what he does. And people talk about egos. I don't care. He's earned the right to have a big ego. And he's earned the right for me to be the next Arsenal manager.
Interesting to hear Charlie Nicholas's views there on Brendan Rodgers, who was rumoured to be right at the top of Tottenham's shortlist, actually, instead of Jose Mourinho. So interesting to hear quite a number of people suggesting Brendan Rodgers should be high up the list at Arsenal. They were also joined on Sky Sports News by former Arsenal goalkeeper Bob Wilson, who was giving his views on the ex-Arsenal manager Unai Emery.
The club means so much to me, obviously. It means so much to so many fans. I think there was an inevitability about this. You had to be there on Saturday or the weekend when I was there. You had to be there last night when I was there. And the atmosphere had become toxic. I mean, there's no question about that. There are all sorts of issues, not just the fact that the defence has been clearly the main problem. You look at the statistics, almost embarrassing. So I think there was an absolute inevitability about this. I would just like to say, I mean, I come from a school where I played, you mentioned 50 years ago. We had a 17-man squad and only 13 played in 64 competitive games and 10 other friendlies. I don't know what the side's going to be from game to game or has, you know, as it has been under Unai's regime. And I find that really, really difficult to come to terms with. I'm not even sure at the moment what is the best Arsenal side.
And is there lies the problem? This was an inherited position that he found himself in, or was this something evolved over his tenure? How do you see it, Bob?
No, I don't think you can look back. I mean, Arsene is one hell of a hard act to follow. This is the greatest manager in the history of Arsenal Football Club, Arsene, and OK, it was maybe time at the time, at the end of Arsene's, but there was nothing as seriously wrong with certainly the defensive side of the play. What really concerns me is, you know, Arsenal lie third in trophies won and the position in great clubs in the country behind Manchester United and Liverpool, who have a similar amount of trophies. Arsenal have won 30 major trophies and another 18 and 19 charity shields, if you count them as such. This should not be happening to a club like ours. We shouldn't be in this situation. And I think it's the right decision. I do feel that it has to be the right decision. Very interesting that Freddie will take over you know, in this, I guess, temporary role. But you saw what happened at Manchester United, and they stuck with a former player in that way. I do think, I heard Charlie Nicholas a few moments ago, I do think the great opportunity for Arsenal came and went when they didn't go for Brendan Rodgers.
Another former Arsenal player was giving their view in addition to Charlie Nicholas and Bob Wilson, the former Arsenal striker Kevin Campbell. Obviously, the attention was turning to who is going to replace Unai Emery at Arsenal. Who's going to be the next permanent manager? We already know that Freddie Ljungberg is in interim head coach position. Now, for how long, we don't know. Whether that's going to be to the end of the season, whether it's just going to be for a few weeks. Kevin Campbell was giving his views and seemed to indicate a few managers that are currently out of a job.
Look, there's a load of good managers out there. Before Unai Emery was ever anywhere near the job, I wanted Max Allegri. And I still think Max Allegri is one of them elite managers, coaches that could turn the Arsenal ship around. Obviously, we know Mauricio Pochettino is available as well now. And obviously, there's question marks. Has he won? He hasn't won anything, etc., etc. But one thing we do know is he's a very, very good coach and a manager. And he can get some real structure into Arsenal, because that is really what we lack.
That was the former Arsenal striker Kevin Campbell. And from one ex-Arsenal player to another, Alan Smith also joined Sky Sports News this morning. And he said Unai Emery simply had to go.
Well, I was at the game last night, Rob, and you came away just thinking, you know, there's no way back. I think it was their worst performance of the season, and the bar hasn't been set very high this term, unfortunately. And, you know, I say well done to the Arsenal board for acting decisively. And when they gave a vote of confidence after the Leicester game, I just wondered why. But I think, you know, the move had to be made. It's a sad day because you never like to see upheaval. I certainly don't at my old club. You want to see success, but for things to get better, I think they had to make the change.
Three Europa League trophies, a French title, two Spanish Cups, a Europa League final last season. What happened? Why didn't it work out?
Well, I think his inability to communicate was a major factor. Now, I don't think it's just his lack of English. You think back to Pochettino at Southampton, where he used an interpreter in his first year, but he somehow managed to get his ideas across on the training ground. It's been difficult for Emery. He's indulged in very long team meetings, 1-2 hours. And when you can't speak English fluently and when your messages are a little garbled, you know, players switch off, pure and simple. And, you know, over time, you tend to lose a little bit of respect for the manager's work. And when that happens, you know, it's a hopeless situation. It's got worse this season than it was last, you know. There were some good moments to remember in some of the big games, Tottenham, Liverpool, Manchester United. There seemed to be a bit more fight and togetherness back in the ranks, but that's all kind of dissipated, you know, to the point that we got to last night where I'm looking at him on the line and he's incapable, really, of changing things. The players don't appear, from my angle, to be really taking too much notice of the manager, and you know that you can't allow that to continue.
So, Alan Smith believes that Unai Emery simply had to go. His time was up at Arsenal, but ultimately the question now turns to who he believes should be the next Arsenal manager.
Listen, it's a plum job. It's the biggest club in London, in my book, in terms of the history, the silverware. They should be able to attract, and I'm sure they can attract, a top manager. Allegri has got a wonderful track record, obviously, with Juventus. Do you go for somebody experienced like that, an old head, or somebody a bit younger? A young, innovative coach, you know, Mikel Arteta. Very nearly got the job last time out. I know Guardiola thinks the world of him as a coach at Manchester City. He's a world of difference between being a coach and the buck stopping with the manager when your decisions, you know, can make a huge difference. But I'd probably like to see that younger type of coach being brought in. people like Julian Nagelsmann at Leipzig. He's a very talented young man. Whether they'd be able to prize him away from Leipzig is another matter. But I'd like to see them be a little bit more adventurous, a bit more daring than just going for somebody kind of tried and tested. Ancelotti, I heard mentioned there, who's clearly a safe pair of hands. But I'd like them to be bold.
You'd like them to be bold? What is the first thing, whoever it may be, has to do at the football club?
Organise them, pure and simple. It's, in many ways, I think it's a similar situation to Spurs and Mourinho in that he's come into a club that's got good players, and it's easy to forget there are a number of very good players at Arsenal. Obviously, the boys in attack, Lacazette and Aubameyang, there's some good young lads coming through that can be developed. And given the right manager, I think that defence can be organised much, much better than it has been, and particularly the midfield protecting that defence. So it's working on that, you know, which we thought would happen when Arsene Wenger left the club and Emery came in. We thought there'd be a lot more discipline in the shape of the team. And if they can achieve that, you fancy that they'll always score goals. So it's that basic organisation you're looking for.
There were some of the views of some of the Arsenal players on Sky Sports News earlier today. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. Share your views on the news that Unai Emery has gone. Who is going to replace him at Arsenal? We'll be back after this.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Obviously, we are reacting to the big news this morning that Unai Emery has lost his job at Arsenal after just under 18 months in charge. He is gone out of the Emirates. Freddie Ljungberg has been named in temporary charge. He's been placed as the interim head coach for how long, we don't know. Attention obviously turns to who will replace him. So many different contrasting rumours, actually. Some are suggesting that Nuno Espirito Santo could be in line for the job. He's been the favourite for the last couple of days. Some suggesting he is right in the running. Massimiliano Allegri supposedly had contact with Arsenal, but maybe his lack of English might count against him after what's happened with Unai Emery. So both Allegri and Nuno have been linked. Mauricio Pochettino continues to be linked with a job. Carlo Ancelotti has been linked. I saw reports from Sam Wallace in The Telegraph today reporting him with the job. And also that Arsenal wanted Jose Mourinho was the rumour, but Tottenham obviously got in there before they did. So many rumours flying around at this moment in time. We don't know how long, as I said, Ljungberg will be in interim charge. We're just going to have to wait and see and who will replace him and when that person will replace Unai Emery is still up for debate, and we don't know that yet. Obviously, we've had plenty of reaction this morning to that news, and earlier on with Martin Bell, he was joined by the former Arsenal midfielder Stuart Robson, obviously reacting to this news. And Martin started by asking Stuart whether there was any surprise at this decision.
No, not at all. I think everybody knew that he was on his way out. Results hadn't improved, performances hadn't improved. He hasn't changed too much at Arsenal since he's been there. So it was always going to happen. It was just a case of when. And I think they've decided to make sure they don't slip further down the table. But performances haven't been good enough.
No. I mean, the only thing I was walking into Dan, I was thinking that Arsenal, that's not the sort of club that make decisions really quickly. They don't sort of, you know, the fact is they gave Wenger amount of time to change the attitude at Arsenal as well. You know, change all the diets, and it was quite revolutionary. But they also gave him time to get out the door. It's probably maybe a year or two too late. But
I would say about 6 years too late, but there we go. The difference was that Arsene Wenger was almost running the club in a certain way. He was dictatorial. He was he'd picked the chief executive in Ivan Gazidis, so it was always going to be difficult to get rid of Arsene Wenger because there were so many people, or half the support, were still in favour of him. That hasn't happened with Unai Emery. He came in, and he had four or five things he had to do. Give them a distinctive game plan, which they hadn't had for a little while. He had to get them better defensively. He had to make them harder to beat. He had to get the unity between the crowd and the players, which hadn't been there in the last few years of Arsene Wenger. And he had to get discipline much better. because Arsenal were an ill-disciplined side under Arsene Wenger in for quite some while. And not one of those categories has he improved, which is a major shame.
Very good point, actually. Thinking about that, you know, defensively, we were ranting about it at the end of last year, saying Mustafi was an absolute joke. And I don't know what he was doing last night, by the way. There was a cross come over and he'd done a little jump in the air and twisted his ankle. I thought he was at Tramp Nightclub with Prince Andrew. I didn't know what happened there.
Only you would know about Tramp Nightclub.
You're not wrong. But I looked at it and I thought, who's he going to buy? And he ends up buying David Luiz, who's not a centre-half, in my opinion.
No, not playing in a back two. I mean, he did well at Chelsea under Antonio Conte when he was in the middle of a back three, where he could be almost like the sweeper and he could switch play from one side of the field to the other, which he did very well. But in terms of 1v1 defending, making good decisions, being determined and throwing your body on the line, he's not that sort of defender. And Arsenal needed a better quality player, but also they needed to do a lot more work on the training field. I still look at Arsenal, and I'm not sure what their game plan is. What are they trying to do when they haven't got the ball? You know, and you have to have good coaches. You always see that they have a distinctive style of play. Unai Emery at Arsenal hasn't had that.
Mm. Do you know what? We've just had Alan Miller, former Arsenal goalkeeper, on, and he said a similar sort of thing. There's no real game plan there. And this sort of maybe started, I don't know, tell me if I'm right, Stuart. You know, you've played with great captains and you've sat in the dressing room, you've looked around and think, you know, we can win this game. I've got him playing there. And when you look around that Arsenal dressing room of the last year, if you think about it, where is the captain? Where's the one that everybody's looking up to?
Well, I'll just have to disagree with you on this one, because I never looked at around my dressing room at anybody and said, well, there's the leader, there's the captain. You had your own responsibility. I'm going to be the captain. I'm going to be the leader. I'm going to be the one that's going to show or lead by example. Having a captain who shouts and screams and punches the badge and all that sort of stuff means nothing to me. So it's a case of you want individuals all doing their very best and trying to lead by example. And that hasn't been the case. Too many players have shirked responsibility. Too many players are looking elsewhere. Too many players, as you've just said, are looking for the lead. Oh, there isn't one. So it means I don't have to work quite so hard. That's not the way football, in my view, should be. Every player is a professional footballer. Every player should want to be the best player on the field come the end of the game. Every player should be disappointed if he's not the best player on the field come the end of the game. And by doing that, or by having that attitude, you want to go out and do your best week in, week out.
Do you know what? It sort of reiterates a caller that we had, an Arsenal fan that called earlier, Martin, called in, very passionate season ticket owner, and he said that, you know, some of these, hearing reports that the players were not playing for the manager. And he was disgusted. He was saying, forget the manager, you play for the fans. When you cross that line, you play for the fans. Is that how you felt, Stuart, when you played?
Absolutely. How you feel after a game, or how I felt after a game, if I played well and was happy with my performance and got, you know, an ovation off the crowd, whatever it may be, you come away and you feel 10 foot tall. If you've had a poor game and haven't really been involved or couldn't get involved and made one or two mistakes, that would last me from the end of the game right through to the next match until I played well. And it was a horrible feeling. It made me, in the end, dislike football in some ways, because I didn't want to have that feeling, you know, every so often. I was fortunate that I was player of the year at all three clubs I played at. But my sole motivation was to try and be the best player on the field, or best player in my team, every week. Yeah. That's what I tried to do.
Well, I sort of reiterated this earlier, that as a kid, you, that's what you want to do. You want to play for a pro club, and you're lucky if you get scouted, and you're lucky if it works out for you. And so when you pull that shirt on, surely, regardless of whether you're getting $3,000 a week or you're getting $300,000 a week.
You know, and people say sometimes, you know, like a Europa League game, for instance, you know, it's not really that important. There's, I don't know how many people were there last night, 45, 50,000 people. There's probably another TV audience of, you know, a vast number. It's going all around the world. Do you want to go out on the field and be the best player and show everybody what a top-class player you are, or do you want to just go through the motions? Well,
totally.
I know which one I'd want to be.
No. It's 100%. And you speak a lot of sense, and it's, in any walk of life, I think it, whatever you do, you've got to give it your all. You've got to, especially the fact that these fans are paying so much money to go and see you.
There will be sometimes where you can't give your best because you've been picked in the wrong position. It doesn't suit your game style. It might be that, you know, the game player means that you don't get as many touches as the left winger does when you're playing on the right hand side. So there are sometimes reasons why players don't play quite as well. They may be lacking in confidence. It's not always about effort, but what you have to try and do is give your best and try and be that best player on the field week in, week out.
That was the former Arsenal midfielder Stuart Robson, who joined Martin Bell earlier on this morning, obviously talking about Unai Emery's sacking, how perhaps the players have really let him down and the frustration there. But it did feel like he was really coming to an end and a change was needed after a pretty awful run for them. I believe we have a caller on the line to talk about it. What is your view on Unai Emery?
My honest view on Unai Emery is that it was a car crash from the beginning, from the Arsenal board. The way we've been treating Wenger, the man who literally built our club. Sure, the club had great history before, but he brought us into the modern era. The way he was the scapegoat for the board was just horrendous. And then they appointed Emery, a true vampire to the job, who's known for blowing away a four-goal lead. That is not a winning mentality. How would you cannot get that sort of manager to Arsenal Football Club? It's just horrendous.
If it were up to you, Abassi, if Unai Emery obviously is gone, who would you be looking to bring in to replace him? Would it be Pochettino? Would it be Allegri? Would it be Nuno Espirito Santo? Which way would you go?
I would be absolutely honest. The one thing keeping Allegri coming here is the language barrier. And it was a problem. Of course, I know English is a hard language to learn, but it's a language barrier. It will cause a massive problem. It will cause England a problem with Capello. What if that were happening with Allegri? I mean, I'd love to take him on. I mean, if he's willing, like, I don't know how much English he knows, but if he's, like, new. But he is a winner. He's a winner. Pochettino would be good to evolve our club, but right now, he hasn't been seen as a winner for football. I don't know how many finals he bottled with Spurs, but he's not really a winner. And Nuno Espirito Santo, to be honest, I think the project he's built in at Wolves, he might not be able to emulate it here.
Whoever comes in, Abassi, do you think that Arsenal will be able to get into the top four, or is that a real distant thought?
To be honest, I do not want to think of us as going to the form as Manchester United, because we have a quality squad, in my opinion, and a top four was clearly for us. If anything, with this kind of squad, Emery should have had a second. But no, we are trailing behind a club who's just been in the top, like Sheffield, if I'm correct. I haven't seen the Premier League table yesterday, but we might be behind Sheffield. I mean, this is Manchester United levels of downfall, and this is not. This is Arsenal Football Club has been on like this since the Emirates era. I've grown up with tales of Arsenal being an excellent football club, and now thanks to Kroenke and other people, we have become a laughing stock. Our transfers from the Emirates era were just horrible, selling our best players for peanuts.
There you go. You heard it from Abassi. Thank you so much for calling us up this afternoon, Abassi. If you want to have your view heard here on Love Sport, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp. You can have your voice heard, like Abassi there, saying that Arsenal have become a laughingstock, falling from grace, really, like Manchester United. And he would love someone like Allegri, a born winner, to come in at Arsenal. So make sure you get in touch. That number again, 0208 7020 558. We'll be getting more views on Unai Emery sacking at Arsenal.
Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Obviously, we're reacting to the news that Unai Emery has lost his job at Arsenal. I'm delighted to say we are joined by Harry Simeu from the Chronicles of Aguna podcast. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Harry. I know when we've spoken over the last couple of months that you haven't exactly been Unai Emery's biggest fan and calling for Arsenal to make a change. They finally have done so. Are you relieved, or are you thinking maybe this should have been done earlier?
I definitely think it should have been done earlier, but I'm pleased that it has been done now. I don't see the point in waiting any longer. Things had got to the point where in my opinion, it was irretrievable. So it was time to show that we are still a big club and act like a big club and make the decision. He's gone now. We can move on. Freddie's going to take over as the interim first team head coach, which, you know, is just a temporary measure. And Arsenal now hopefully will be up in the search for someone new.
Obviously, at this moment in time, people ask the question, where has it all gone wrong and whose fault is it? Which is a very easy game of blame game to play at this moment in time. How much blame do you put at Unai Emery's door? Because in all these circumstances, there are always a variety of factors. It's never just one thing that leads you to this point. But is Unai Emery the main person to blame, or do the Arsenal board have something to answer for? Do the Arsenal players have a lot of blame that should be directed in their way?
I think you've got to direct some blame at the players, and I think you've definitely got to direct some blame at the board, because ultimately this lack of ambition that has taken over Arsenal Football Club in the last few years stems from them. It all comes from the very top. You know, if you're not under pressure, then standards are going to drop, and that's been the case for years. It's why Arsene Wenger was allowed to continue for so long, and it's why Unai Emery was appointed in the first place. So I think for me, the biggest people to blame are the board, and it's not personal with Unai Emery. You know, we just didn't feel he was the right man for the job, and that's proven to be the case. But the board have a lot to answer to, and the players too, because, you know, I don't agree with the way Emery was setting the team up and with some of the things he was asking them to do, but ultimately they're professional footballers and they should take some pride in what they're doing. And it felt like, particularly towards the end, particularly during this poor run that we've been on, it was as if everybody had down tools, and that's not acceptable in a professional environment. It doesn't matter what you think of your manager, it's not on.
When a manager leaves a club, what a lot of people look to is potentially how much money they spent, how much money the board gave to them. Now, Unai Emery spent £209 million in his 18 months in charge. So it wasn't as if Unai Emery was given very restricted budgets to go and sign players. He did have a lot of money to spend. Is your frustration the fact that they've gone and spent quite a lot of that money on attacking players? You think of Nicola Pepe for £72 million when Arsenal has surely been crying out for a quality spine of the team for about a decade now.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't be fooled by those figures, because although we've supposedly spent a lot of money, we've actually recuperated a lot of money as well. And that's the thing with Arsenal. They make it out as though they spend loads of money and that they've really backed the manager. But ultimately, they haven't, because we've lost a number of key players, a number of experienced players. You know, at the end of last season, we lost Petr Cech. We lost Aaron Ramsey, who was really important to us on a free. We lost Laurent Koscielny, and we replaced him with David Luiz, who, let's face it, isn't a top-class centre-back. So, you know, we lost Alex Iwobi as well. We cashed in on him. Henrik Mkhitaryan went out the door as well. And, yeah, you could argue that these players were not necessarily good enough, but they're experienced players. And so, even though there was some money spent, we had to replace an awful lot of people, and we haven't done that right.
So obviously now the attention turns to who will be replacing Unai Emery at Arsenal. Before we talk about personnel, who would be a logical fit, how quickly do you think Arsenal will look to name a new manager? Freddie Ljungberg has been named as the interim head coach, and I can't imagine Arsenal will necessarily appoint someone in the next 48 hours before Sunday's game at Norwich. So how long do you think Arsenal will take with this decision? How long do you think Arsenal should be taking this decision? Because surely it's a pretty significant moment, this, for Arsenal going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that they should rush, if I'm honest. But equally, it's not something you can let rumble on for a long time. So I expect them to be working around the clock to try and identify the right man and get a deal over the line. Now, in terms of Freddie Ljungberg, he can only manage the club for 12 weeks, I understand, due to the rules, because he hasn't got a UEFA Pro licence, which means he can only be an interim coach. So that puts them under a little bit of pressure automatically to get someone in, at least within the next few weeks. In an ideal world, you'd like to think that they were already sounding people out, given the way the last few weeks have gone, and that a deal is not too far away. So fingers crossed, within the next week, I'd say, I expect to see a new Arsenal manager appointed. And if we don't appoint one by then I'd question what on earth is going on in that boardroom.
It's difficult to know, Harry, at this moment in time, which rumours are the right ones to believe. Because if you believe some, Nuno Espirito Santo, who's come in as the favourite the last couple of days, he has been rumoured to be really interested in the job. Some reports coming out of France. Then you look at other reports and suggesting Arsenal have already made contact with Massimiliano Allegri, although perhaps not being strong, particularly strong at English, may be a hindrance to that. Is it difficult to know which rumours are true? Where do you think Arsenal will be heading? Which type of a manager? Will it be an Allegri who's free at the moment, who's a winner? Are they going to go Nuno, who's done a great job at Wolves? Are they going to go Pochettino because he's available? Do they go for someone like an Arteta who used to play for the club? What sort of direction do you think Arsenal will go down?
It's really difficult to say, to be honest, because I didn't really see Unai Emery as the answer after Arsene Wenger left, but they went down that route, so it's really difficult to see what route they are going to go down. In terms of the people that we're being linked with at the moment, you know, Nuno, the links are quite strong there, and the reports are that he's interested. Well, of course he'll be interested, because despite what people say about this football club, we still are a huge, huge club, and it's a huge attraction to any manager wanting to progress their career. So I expect a lot of managers to be interested, in particular somebody like Nuno, who, with no disrespect, is currently at a smaller club and will probably be looking to better himself at some point. Max Allegri, you know, is an interesting one because he's a winner. He's done a lot of good in Italy. But again, he's one of those more old school type managers, a commanding presence, someone with a big name, a big reputation. And I get the feeling that the Arsenal board are going to try and steer away from somebody like that because they don't want to have pressure put on them by their manager. Emery was the type of person who the job was too big for him, and so he was grateful to be here. But ultimately, we need someone who's big enough, bold enough, strong enough to take all of the brunt of it on his shoulders, to go in there, to change things, turn things upside down, and have enough clout behind him to go to the board and say, I'm not happy with this and I'm not happy with that. Emery wasn't that man. I wonder whether someone like Nuno would be that man too, just because of his previous. So I'd like to see them go down the Ancelotti-Allegri route, someone experienced, someone who's a big name. I think that would make a real statement. But if I had to put my hat on the line and guess what they're going to do, I think they're going to go with someone who will be, again, like a bit like Emery, grateful for the job and willing to work their way.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Harry. That was Harry Simeu from the Chronicles of Aguna podcast, giving his views, obviously, on the news that Unai Emery has been sacked, and the rumours flying around at the moment whether Allegri's in talks with Arsenal, whether Nuno is our favourite and is desperate for the job, whether someone like Ancelotti could take over. Jose Mourinho was supposedly the first choice before he joined Tottenham. So plenty of rumours flying around. Just a couple of other Premier League stories to bring you. Some bad news for Liverpool is the news that Fabinho will be out until the start of 2020 with ankle ligament damage that he suffered in the Champions League this week against Napoli. So a blow for Jurgen Klopp. And obviously we're having plenty of news conferences this afternoon from a whole host of managers in the Premier League ahead of the weekend's fixtures. Obviously plenty to come over the weekend. It starts with Newcastle against Manchester City tomorrow. And we've been talking about Unai Emery. Freddie Ljungberg will be in charge on a temporary basis on Sunday when Arsenal travel to Carrow Road to take on Norwich. So plenty of interest in that one has just been added to.
This is Love Sport.